Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Thursday, May 4th, 2023. On The Cross in the Desert, I take you into the heart of Iran every Monday, and we talk about the issues. We talk about the human rights abuses. We talk about the woman life and freedom movement. And I have read extensively from my new publication, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. That is on Monday. But most of the time, but not every time, but most of the time on Thursday, I switch gears and we talk biblical theology. I give an opportunity for you to hear and understand God's word on most every topic of concern. And most predominantly on Thursday, I take us into the scriptures and help us to see the rich treasures of the life-transforming word of God. Human rights for my Iranian friends are dear to my heart. But I also have a responsibility and more so a passion to preach the gospel to my Iranian friends who don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Today, I want to embark upon a teaching this morning entitled Made Alive in Christ. What does that mean? Well, we are talking about the essential truths of the gospel, what Christ accomplished for us by dying on the cross for our sins and rising again on the third day from the dead. What does it mean to be made alive in Christ? Now, the primary text for this teaching today is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I want you to set aside some time this morning and listen carefully. This is the word of God, unlike anything else in the world. This is God's revelation, God's word to us, and we really need to pay attention to the life-transforming truths. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, the Apostle Paul writes, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It is one of my most favorite passages of Scripture, favorite chapters in the Bible. This is rich in content and meaning. And the Apostle Paul begins by reminding the Ephesians where they have come from. That's so important that we don't forget where we came from, that we remember that we're not better than anyone else in the world. No, not at all. We are in a better position than they are, but it's only because of the mercy of God. Now, there is a phrase here that is so important to our topic today, made alive in Christ. Paul talks about us being dead in transgressions and sins. What does that mean? And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. What Paul is talking about here in this chapter is the great gift that God has given us through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, because of Jesus, and this is important, they are not merely bad people made good, people made alive. Such an important, so much of the world is so geared toward some type of religion to improve their character, to improve their moral standing. And so spiritually dead people will go after every religious claim. But the Bible says, it's not a matter of making bad people good. That's what religion tries to do. No, it's about making dead people alive, from spiritual death to spiritual life. Well, we know why we were once in this condition, you and I. Our first parents sinned in that paradise called Garden of Eden. And through their disobedience, they brought not only physical, but spiritual death into God's perfect world. The moment that they transgressed God's law, the Bible says their eyes were opened, and they realized, hey, we're naked, Genesis 3:7. So this was the time when mankind first tasted rebellion, and they were awakened to the difference between good and evil. They had experienced no evil, no shame, and no guilt up until that moment when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Once they took that bite, once they tasted that disobedience, once they declared themselves independent from God, their souls and their bodies begin to die. But God, rich in mercy, made the perfect sacrifice to atone for their sins. And this is where it began, right there in the Garden of Eden. Now, before Christ, you and I were spiritually dead. The Bible says we have no good within ourselves and no desire to submit to our Creator. That's what sin does. We are dead spiritually before Christ. And does a dead man have the ability to make himself alive again? A corpse can't do anything to help itself. In the same way, we cannot save ourselves or make any move within ourselves to cleanse us of our sins. We can't even produce the desire to obey. Why? The Bible says we are dead in transgression and sin because of death, because of our alienation from God. We are spiritually dead like a corpse. And what does that mean? Dead people need a life giver. John chapter 1 verse 4 says of Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus doesn't just come to give us eternal life in heaven in the future, but right now he gives us spiritual life when we believe the gospel. Our dead spirits can be kind of compared to a deflated balloon inside of our souls. And we're not even aware. Remember the series, I think it was on HBO, The Walking Dead? Well, that's what humanity is. Physically, we're all alive, but spiritually, we are dead until God makes that first all-important move when we repent of our sin and exercise faith in Christ. God forgives all of our sins. He credits us with the righteousness of Jesus, and he sends the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. And at that very critical moment of belief and conversion, of being born again, God takes that deflated balloon inside of our souls, and our dead spirits come alive. That's what the new birth is, regeneration, transforming us from lifeless, sin-filled corpses to vibrant, living children of God. So now, we need to understand this from the very get-go. Every human being in this world exists in one of two categories, spiritually dead or spiritually alive. And please, let's get this fact straight. Religion cannot make a dead man live. Religion cannot do that. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus who came after him at night to find out about him? We know you are a teacher sent from God, Nicodemus said, because no one can do the works that you do unless God was with him. So he was complimenting Jesus as a great teacher. He was coming to Jesus from a religious mindset. And Jesus immediately corrected him, and he said, Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And of course, Nicodemus was thinking in religious terms, well, you know, I was born physically once. Do I go back into my mother's womb? He missed the point entirely. He should have known. Ezekiel 36 would have been the text he should have referred to, that God at a point in time was going to cleanse the sinner and make him come alive. But Nicodemus was approaching Jesus from a religious mindset. Religion has no power to make a dead man live. Good works, efforts, traditions, all that may look like life to dead people. It has no spiritual power to transform us from the inside out. Just remember, Jesus paid the highest price to redeem us from the clutches of Satan. Sin destroys. Surrender brings life. We were all dead in our transgressions and sins. But Jesus came to make us alive again. That's what our text says this morning. We all lived in that state at one time, Paul writes in Ephesians, we were busy being religious, probably, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. We followed every desire and impulse of our thinking. We were by nature deserving of wrath. We need to understand this. God is love, but he is a holy God. And in our spiritual dead state, the Bible says we were enemies of Christ. We were enemies of God, deserving of his wrath. But here comes the great transformation. Verse 4, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even in our dead spiritual condition. It is by grace you have been saved. We've been raised up to sit in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's a position of authority. Now, I want us to understand something even more important here than that spiritual transformation. This text is so explicit that we need to understand that everything that has been done to us in Christ, because of Christ, is all by God's favor, his unmerited favor called grace. It is a gift. We in no way deserve it. We in no way earn it. It is not through good works, traditions, or joining the religious club down the street. It is because of God's great mercy that he makes us spiritually alive, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. We didn't just wake up one morning and say, you know, I think I want to be a Christian today. We didn't on our own contrition and in our own thinking just decide, well, I think I should believe that today. No, unless God is seeking after us and giving us grace and faith to believe, if he hadn't done that, we would remain spiritually dead. Understand this. We don't come to Christ on our own. He draws us. He brings us from spiritual death to spiritual life. That's what born again means. That's what regeneration means. It is by grace we have been saved through faith. Now, faith is our part in believing, but in many ways, if you listen carefully to the text, that is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God. It's all by God's mercy, not by works, so that no one can boast. Have you ever been around someone that loves to credit everything they do? Look at me. Look at what I've done. I've been charitable. I've been a good person. I've attended church on the most important dates. I give. I give. I. No, no, no. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Your good works are like filthy rags of unrighteousness. Now, the reverse, be careful here. We're saved entirely by God's grace through faith in Christ. The very proof of our salvation is issuing forth in good works. If we are in Christ, if we have been made alive spiritually, good works will flow out of our new relationship. Out of gratitude, we do good works. For we are God's workmanship, in one translation, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, but again, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's all of God. And the good works issued forth in our lives are out of gratitude for so great a salvation. And those good works are a testimony to the fact that we have been saved. Justification before God is through faith. Sanctification are good works comes as a result of our salvation. It's very, very important. This has been an amazing study this morning from one of the richest chapters in all of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. And I want us to think carefully and to ponder on how we should have an overflowing spirit of gratitude for what God has done for us in Christ. He has made us spiritually alive. He has taken us in our dead spiritual condition when we were not even seeking after him. And he opens our eyes to his truth. He takes the blinders off of our eyes so we can behold Jesus. We can see him for who he really is. I hope this morning that you will take the time this remainder of the week and just go through this incredible chapter in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2. Because it causes me to have a spirit of gratitude and of thanksgiving every day because of God's great mercy. And now I want us to hear a song of tribute, a song of worship by Christian Stanfill. Based on our teaching today, it's called Glorious Day.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I made. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my dream, yeah. Till I made. You called my name and I
2017, let's hear it. The loudest shout you've got in you. Give it to us.
What a powerful, powerful ballad, which is really based on what we learned this morning. Glorious Day by Christian Stanfill. It's talking about what I was just teaching on this morning, making spiritually dead men alive, calling us out of the cradle, the grave of sin, to new life in Jesus Christ. If you are someone that is seeking, you really don't know what you believe, but you're searching. I say this to you. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you are looking for truth, Jesus says, I am the truth. If you are lost and can't find your way, Jesus is the way. If you're searching for the meaning of life, Jesus is that life. I urge you today to call out to him, to cry out to him. For those spiritual seekers, he is always faithful to answer you with his truth. God is so rich in mercy, so rich in truth. Religion will not change your heart's disposition or inclination. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with God through Christ. I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life today to join me on my podcast. I am praying that you have a great weekend, and I will see you again on Monday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time for another edition of The Cross in the Desert.